Thank you, Joanne. If you have your Bibles, turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 22. And as you're turning there, I'd like to just say it's good to be home. It's good to be back. We love you folks, and we had an opportunity to be away for a week, but took us out of the pulpit for a couple of Sundays. I appreciate Pastor Matt taking you into the Word the last couple Sundays and doing that well. But it's always good to be home. Good to go away, good to be back. And good to be with you this morning. We're going to begin our time in the Word this morning just by reading some verses out of Proverbs 22 and Proverbs 23. About halfway through chapter 22, in my Bible, there's a heading there that says 30 sayings of the wise. And that runs from about halfway through Proverbs 22 through 23 and halfway through 24. I'm not going to read all those sayings, but we're going to read some of them this morning. Proverbs chapter 22, and I'm going to begin in verse 17, and you can follow along as I read. Proverbs 22, 17. Pay attention and turn your ear to the sayings of the wise. Apply your heart to what I teach, for it is pleasing when you keep them in your heart and have all of them ready on your lips. So that your trust may be in the Lord, I teach you today, even you. Have I not written 30 sayings for you, sayings of counsel and knowledge? Teaching you to be honest and to speak the truth, so that you may bring back truthful reports to those you serve. Do not exploit the poor because they are poor. Do not crush the needy in court, for the Lord will take up their case and will exact life for life. Do not make friends with a hot-tempered person. Do not associate with one easily angered, or you may learn their ways and get yourself ensnared. Do not be one who shakes his hand in pledge or puts up security for debts. If you lack the means to pay, your very bed will be snatched out from under you. Do not move an ancient boundary stone set up by your ancestors. Do you see someone skilled in their work? They will serve before kings. They will not serve before officials of low rank. When you sit down to dine with a ruler, note well what is put before you and put a knife to your throat if you're given to gluttony. Do not crave his delicacies, for that food is deceptive. Do not wear yourself out to get rich. Do not trust your own cleverness. Cast but a glance at riches and they are gone, for they will surely sprout wings and fly off to the sky like an eagle. Do not eat the food of a begrudging host. Do not crave his delicacies, for he's the kind of person who is always thinking about the cost. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. You will vomit up the little you have eaten and will have wasted your compliments. Do not speak to fools, for they will scorn your prudent words. Do not move an ancient boundary stone or encroach on the fields of the fatherless, for their defender is strong, and he will take up their case against you. Apply your heart to instruction and your ears to words of knowledge. Do not withhold discipline from a child. If you punish them with the rod, they will not die. Punish them with the rod and save them from death. My son, if your heart is wise, then my heart will be glad indeed. My inmost being will rejoice when your lips speak what is right. Do not let your heart envy sinners, but always be zealous for the fear of the Lord. There is surely a future hope for you, and your hope will not be cut off. We'll pause there in our reading this morning. Well, let's look to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning and we recognize that your word is true and it is right and it's written and recorded for our benefit, for our instruction, to correct us, to teach us, to instruct us, to train us in righteousness, to equip us for every good work. So we pray this morning as we focus our attention on the Scripture and as we interact with this message, we pray that you would teach us by your Spirit who authored this text. Renew our minds, transform our lives, conform us into the image of Jesus Christ. May we press on to maturity and press on to know you more, and may our lives be changed as a result of your ministry in us and through us. Father, thank you for this fellowship here that we enjoy so much. We pray that you would deepen our love for you, deepen our love for your word, deepen our love for one another, and may we exercise that in ways that are profitable. Father, we love you. Thank you for loving us, and for Jesus Christ, we pray in his name. Amen. Well, if you were like me, growing up, you would have heard regularly the words, "Don't do that. Don't touch that. Don't go there. Don't touch that hot burner. Don't run in the parking lot. I think I hear some mothers saying that to their kids after the service. Don't hit your brother. That was always pleasing, being the younger brother in the house. I was always grateful when my parents issued that command. Don't put that in your mouth. Don't pick your nose. I mean, you heard don't do that a lot growing up, didn't you? And as we grew up and heard that repeatedly, we came to understand that those prohibitions, often they were for our good. They were not meant to keep us from certain things that were good. They were meant to keep us from certain things that were not good. And there were reward. There was reward for not doing certain things. If you want to keep your original fingerprints, you keep your fingers off the burner. Of course, if you wanted to get a husband someday, you stopped picking your nose. If you wanted to save your life, you didn't run around in the parking lot. There are a lot of don't do this or don't do that commands that we received growing up, and they were for our good, and we benefited from them, certainly. Maybe you've run into families today that have adopted a kind of modern philosophy where they're never going to tell their kids no or don't do that. You run into some families, that's their thing. They're never going to tell their kids no. They're never going to say don't do that. Instead, what are they going to do? They're going to provide positive alternatives. And you know what I say to that? Good luck with that. And you should have lots of kids. Because about the time little Junior picks up his Tonka truck to crane his sister over the head with it, you're not going to be thinking of positive alternatives. Use the rubber ball. Use the rubber ball. No, you're going to say, don't do that. And you're going to quickly intervene. We received a lot of don't do that kind of commands, and we've continued to learn them as we've grown up. Let me show you some slides here. What do you think when you see that? Right? Just don't do it. Don't even go there. You are either going to waste some skin or you're going to waste some time as your tongue freezes or that pole thaws, one or the other. You just don't do that. It can get a little worse than that, though. Oh, don't do that. I think the person who should get in trouble here is the one taking the picture. You don't let two-year-olds lick a pig's nose. I mean, that's just disgusting. Speaking from experience, personal experience here, guys, there are certain places that you don't take your wife on Valentine's Day. I think Cabela's was cruel to us this past week, don't you? If you're not aware, Cabela's opened a store here in Saginaw this past week, and they opened it on Thanksgiving Day. It was not Thanksgiving Day. Valentine's Day. They could have opened the day before. They could have opened the day after. That was just cruel. I learned growing up, don't be cruel. Apparently, they didn't learn that. So, guys, this is not a place to take your wives on Valentine's Day. But of course, wives, there are certain places you don't take your husband on Valentine's Day, too. Several acres of life-sucking fabric in that store. I just drain the life right out of you. Quite often under the Joanne sign, it says, experience the creativity. Creativity is not what your husband is experiencing inside that store. Anyways, we better move back into our message. There's a lot we learned through don't do that kind of counsel. And in the course of that, we learned that experience isn't always the best teacher. Sometimes someone else's experience is a really good teacher. And when they've experienced the pain of a wrong decision or a wrong path or a wrong action, and they come to you and say, don't do that, we would be wise to listen and to gain from their experience. If there's any advantage to being a lastborn, how many lastborns here this morning? Oh, several lastborns. There's very few advantages to being lastborn. If there is any advantage to being lastborn, it's the experience of watching older siblings, right? And you just kind of go, oh, not going to do that. That invites discipline. There's value, certainly, in learning from the experience of others. The book of Proverbs, which we read this morning, and we've been studying on Sunday mornings, it's written by Solomon, authored by the Holy Spirit. It's filled with instruction, counsel, advice, so that we might grow in wisdom, so that we might gain insight and live a well-ordered life and avoid the pain of foolish decisions and foolish mistakes and experience a well-ordered life, a life that God intends for us to live. Most of the instruction in this book, as you read it, it's 31 chapters, it's about 30 pages long in my Bible. As you read the book, most of the instruction is positive, teaching us what to think and how to act and what to do in certain situations. But in this 31-chapter book, there are 60 places where the author says, don't do this. Don't do this. So about an average two times per page. I'm not going to look at all 60 of them this morning, because if I started to shine 60 don't do this commands up on the screen, you'd eventually glaze over and I'd lose you all. But I do want to look at a couple of them that are very foundational to get us started this morning. So wisdom on what not to do. The first wisdom that we find on what not to do in the book of Proverbs, and it's the most repeated, is this wisdom here. Don't forsake wisdom. Don't forsake wisdom. Now, we've already run across this in our study, and so I'm not going to belabor the point here, but it is important that we draw it back up for us this morning. Don't forsake wisdom. Where does wisdom come from? Wisdom comes from God. From His lips, from His Word. God's Word has been written down for our benefit so that we might gain knowledge and instruction and wisdom. And so we get wisdom from God's Word, so don't forsake God, don't forsake God's Word. We also learn wisdom from, it says here, pay attention, turn your ears to the saying of the wise. Apply your heart to what I teach. So wisdom comes from God. Wisdom also comes from people who have learned to walk with God by faith. We've been saying all along that wisdom, the beginning of wisdom, is fearing the Lord. And fearing the Lord is listening to what God has to say, believing it over our own counsel and our own thoughts, and by faith putting it into practice. And there are people who have walked with God longer than you have. And there are people who have learned to fear the Lord and to trust the Lord and to trust His Word and to apply His Word and to walk into wisdom. And what they have to say in the way they order their life, their lips and their lives teach us wisdom. And we would do well to pay attention to that according to this wisdom. Don't forsake wisdom. It comes from God, and it comes from God's people, those who have learned to walk with the Lord. So that's the first bit of wisdom. Some verses on that? Let me just take you to four of them. There's several, but let me just take to four. Proverbs 4, 1 and 2. Hear, O sons, a father's instruction, and be attentive, or pay attention, that you may gain insight. I give you good precepts. Do not forsake my teaching. That could be a father to a son, or certainly the Holy Spirit to us as we read this. Get wisdom, get insight, do not forget, and do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will keep you. Love her, and she will guard you. My son, be attentive to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and healing to all their flesh. Last one. And now, O sons, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise, and do not neglect it. Do not forsake it. Blessed is the one who listens to me. So the first counsel, don't forsake wisdom. Don't do this. Don't forsake wisdom. This past week, I picked up a book and began reading through it. It's written by an author who's walked with Christ longer than I have, and he's got wisdom to share. His name is Al Mohler. He's the president of the Theological Seminary down in Louisville, and he's most recently written a book on, it's entitled The Conviction to Lead, The Conviction to Lead. Very good book. One of the statements he made this week as I was reading was this. He said, our spiritual maturity will never develop beyond our knowledge of God's Word. Now, that's right on. Our spiritual maturity, our spiritual wisdom will never develop beyond our knowledge of God's Word. And so applying this counsel would be, hey, don't forsake wisdom, don't forsake God's Word. In God's Word and in the application of God's Word, there is wisdom. So listen to it, learn from it, live it, don't forsake it, don't let it go. The second piece of wisdom on what not to do really follows this first one, but it's maybe a little more unsettling for us. First wisdom, don't forsake wisdom. The second is, don't trust yourself. Wow, don't trust yourself. That bit of counsel, that bit of wisdom or advice doesn't fit so well within our culture, which prides itself on independence, autonomy, and self-reliance. But this counsel, don't trust yourself, really is the second half of the first counsel that we've just looked at. Don't forsake wisdom, and wisdom doesn't come from you. Don't forsake wisdom, and wisdom doesn't come from you. Wisdom comes from God's word and God's lips and God's people, and wisdom doesn't reside necessarily within your heart. Wisdom comes from God. So don't forsake wisdom, and don't trust yourself, because you are not the source of wisdom for yourself. I'd almost like to have you turn to your neighbor and say that. You're not the source of wisdom for yourself. But as soon as you say it to them, they're saying it back to you, right? And it's true. That don't trust yourself, that wisdom comes from a few verses, some that are very well known. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. Be not wise in your own eyes. No, fear the Lord, trust the Lord, and turn away from evil. It'll be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Of course, we read here in Proverbs 23, verse 4, do not trust your own cleverness. Don't trust yourself. That message is so, as I've said already, so contrary to what we receive regularly. We regularly receive from the world in which we live and from media and from our teachers, we're regularly counseled to trust your heart. Believe in yourself. Your heart won't lead you astray, so trust your heart. And I think, man, my Bible tells me my heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? My heart can be lied to, and my heart can lie to me, and my heart can easily be led astray, and my heart can lead me astray. My heart needs to be fed God's word and God's wisdom. And that wisdom, again, doesn't come from within me, it comes from outside of me, and I receive it into my life. I don't want to trust my heart may lead me astray. God's wisdom won't lead me astray. Another verse, listen, my son, and be wise. Set your heart on the right path. So my heart doesn't need to direct my life. I need to provide direction to my heart. And that direction, of course, comes from wisdom, God's word. So these are two pieces of wisdom for us this morning on what not to do. Don't forsake wisdom. Do not let it go. And don't trust yourself. The week before last, when we were away, my wife and I were on a cruise. Never been on a cruise before. Fortunately, we were not on the cruise this last week. I was bobbing along out there in the Gulf of Mexico, needing to be towed back to shore. We had a much better experience than that. We had a lovely cruise, beautiful weather, and calm seas. And we were glad to go. It was an early celebration for us of our 25th wedding anniversary. Our 25th wedding anniversary is later this year, but a February cruise sounds so much better than a September cruise. Because September, our weather is kind of nice around here, and February, not so much. So anyways, we were on a cruise and had a wonderful time. On the cruise, we visited a number of ports and spent some time snorkeling and going underwater and on the beach, and it was just lovely. One of the ports we visited was Jamaica. Any of you have been to Jamaica? Oh, some of you have been to Jamaica. Respect, man. Or what do they all say? No problem. No problems, man. They say that regularly. We got to that port, and we'd been enough time at the ocean, enough time at the sea and underwater. Lynn and I decided to take a little excursion. And we joined about 20 other people that got on a bus there at the port, and we went about a half an hour inland. And we went out to a place where there was 28 miles of caves underground. Really fascinating. And we saw that excursion. We thought, hey, we're all over that. And so we jumped on the bus with about 20 other people, went out to these caves. We get there. The funny thing is they give you a hard hat. That's kind of interesting. What's a hard hat going to do if the cave goes under? Not much. They gave us a hard hat. They got us a tour guide. There's 20 of us. We walk into these caves, and the tour guide is the only one with a light, and he's got a big flashlight-like thing. And so you kind of stayed close to the guy, and we walk in, and we go through a little bit of these caves, and we come into an open room. And we're all kind of standing there, and the guide is shining this light at all these, you know, the stalactites and stalagmites and this formation and that formation. And we're looking all around and taking in all that he's showing us. And we're kind of standing there in a circle as he's doing this. And then in the midst of that presentation, he takes the light and he shines it right up on the ceiling, right above us. And you all look up, and what's on the ceiling? Bats. And the ceiling's not that high. And there's a lot of them there. And they're sleeping. They don't like light shined on them in the day. And so he shines this light up on them, and they all just start crawling all over one another. And all of us standing there kind of go. And then after we did that, you know what the tour guide said? He said, "Don't open your mouth. That brown stuff dripping off the ceiling isn't chocolate." And we all went. As nasty as it may sound of having bat poo drop in your mouth, it probably won't cost you your life. They're fruit bats. They have a pretty good diet. But as nasty as that sounds, it probably won't cost you your life. Forsaking wisdom and trusting yourself will cost you your life. That's the urgency of the command here as we find it in the scripture. My son, do not lose sight of these. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, for they will be life for your soul and adornment for your neck. Then you will walk on your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. If you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of the sudden terror or of the ruin of the wicked when it comes, and it will come. For the Lord will be your confidence, or your translation may say, for the Lord will be at your side, and he will keep your foot from being snared. And now, my sons, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear my instruction and be wise. Do not neglect it. Blessed is the one who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who fails to find me injures himself, and all who hate me love death. So I guess the message, you know, bat poo won't kill you. They could have had that on a shirt when we exited the cave. Bat poo won't kill you. Forsaking wisdom and trusting yourself will. That's the urgency of this. Don't do this. We grew up hearing, don't do that. Don't touch that stove. Don't go there. Don't. And Solomon or the Holy Spirit is saying, don't forsake wisdom. Don't trust in yourself. We could turn into the pages of the New Testament. I won't take you there this morning, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it tells us that Jesus is called the power and the wisdom of God. So if you forsake wisdom, in the ultimate sense, you're forsaking Christ. And if you trust yourself, you're not trusting in Christ. And to forsake Christ and not trust in Christ not only will lead to a loss of life as it's intended here, but it will lead it to a loss of eternal life with God and glory prepared for us who love Him. So this is the urgency of this. Don't forsake wisdom. Don't trust in yourself. You forsake wisdom and trust in yourself, it'll cost you your life. But if you apply wisdom and trust in wisdom, trust in God, it will lead to life. There's one illustration I'm going to take you to this morning. This wisdom could be applied in numerous directions, numerous different avenues, different areas. But there's one piece of wisdom I'll apply it to, and it's from a couple other do not do commands that we find in Proverbs. And these will be familiar to you as well. Proverbs 24, do not say, I will do to him as he has done to me. I will pay the man back for what he has done. I suppose all of us have said that at some point or another. Someone's done us wrong, and we're like, I'll get even. Quite a matter of fact, that's almost the plot line of every adventure movie that's out right now. I'm going to settle the score. They did me bad, I'm going to get them even. It's repeated Do not say, I'll pay you back for this. I'll pay you back for this wrong. No, wait for the Lord and he will deliver you. Your translation may say, wait for the Lord and he will avenge you. That counsel, that wisdom, that do not do this is repeated in the New Testament. You probably know it from Romans 12. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live peaceably with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. So let's apply the wisdom. Don't forsake wisdom. Don't trust yourself. If you're to apply wisdom and trust in wisdom, how would you respond to this? If I apply wisdom and I don't trust in myself, then I won't plot and plan personal revenge. And I'll leave that to the Lord, who sees and knows and who has promised to do justly. And then I will trust in him and I will continue to do good. That requires faith, right? That requires faith. It requires a lot of faith. It requires faith in the promises of God. He's promised to handle it. And I believe that he will. And so I won't plot and plan personal revenge. I'll just leave it with the Lord, and he will take care of it, and I will continue to do good. That's where applying wisdom and trusting wisdom comes in. Because if I don't apply wisdom and I trust in myself, I'm going to get even. You did me bad, I'm going to get you back. And when I do that, how does that work out? If you do me bad, and I'm going to forsake wisdom and trust myself and get you back, how does that always play out? I'm always going to get you a little better than you got me because of my skewed sense of the offense and the hurt that I've experienced and the retaliation that I want. I'm going to get you back one more. And that always works out well, doesn't it? That just becomes a terrible cycle. So don't forsake wisdom. Don't trust yourself. No, apply wisdom and trust in wisdom. And in this case, if we do that, we'll trust in the Lord, leave the offense with him, and move on continuing to do good. Well, that's just one illustration, and I almost hate to use it as an illustration because the real message this morning from the Word is don't forsake wisdom, don't trust in yourself. If you do, it'll cost you your life. Instead, learn, listen, and apply wisdom, and trust in the Lord. It'll give you life. It'll be for you life and eternal life. Let's close in prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, in your Word, you tell us what to do and what not to do. And you give us instruction that's for our good and for our benefit and to bless our life. And this morning, we've just been reminded to not forsake your word, to not forsake your counsel, your instruction written down for our benefit, and to not forsake those who have walked with you longer and offer us counsel and insight from having learned to fear you. Help us to apply wisdom. Help us to not let it go. Help us to live by it. Father, I pray that you'd keep us from trusting ourselves. We so easily default to that. We've learned what a hash we can make of our own life when we do that. Father, we want to trust you. We want to take you at your word. We want to apply what is true and right and be blessed because of it and be a blessing to others. So I pray that you'd work that grace into our life this morning. As we hear it, may our hearts and soul resonate with it, with a desire to put that on. Father, we love you. Thank you for teaching us all that you have. We have so much more to learn. I pray that you continue to be our teacher as we look to you for our wisdom. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.